If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Luke chapter 19 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 29. Luke 19 and 29. When Jesus approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave you with one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here. A passage, a picture that is very familiar to us. But please, Father, in the process, don't let us become careless in either the handling or communicating, or understanding, hearing what you have to say to us today. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and his disciples have been making their way back to Jerusalem, teaching along the way. In fact, it's this trip where Jesus and his disciples stop in Jericho and meet Zacchaeus and impact him and his family. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, there are three responses that I'd like us to notice this morning. First, as I had to correct myself earlier, a response from the crowd. Verse 38 says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The first part of that verse is a quote from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is a part of a larger passage from Psalm 113 to 118 that composed the hymns of Passover. You may remember on the night which Jesus is betrayed, he shares Passover with his disciples. And the Gospels say that when they finished, they got up and sang a hymn. What did they sing? Something from Psalm 113 to 118. that helped them to focus upon the truth of Passover. Now, if we go back to the book of Exodus and remind ourselves of what the Passover was all about, it was pretty simple. But by the time of Jesus and his disciples, a lot of tradition had been added to it. Not wrong, but tradition that, again, helped them to focus on the kernel of truth and then helped them to appreciate and understand what God had continued to do down through time since the first Passover, since the Exodus from Egypt. So much so was the Passover focused on the Christ, upon the Messiah and his coming, that at the end of Passover, someone would say, perhaps next year in Jerusalem. They were looking for Jesus. No, they were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. Maybe next year. So as the disciples and others who'd gathered watching Jesus descend in or come up to Jerusalem, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a statement of faith, of belief. Did they understand it fully? No. The week's events will demonstrate that most did not. But isn't it interesting? Even when the unbeliever quotes Scripture, he's telling the truth. And the truth is being told here. Whether they understand it or not, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The last half of that verse, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Well, that didn't come out of the Psalms. Where did that come from? Well, it wasn't original with me, but here is a hint, Matthew 2, Luke 2. What did the angel say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Remember that? Some of these disciples would have remembered that, not because they were there, but because it was a very important part of the story of the Rabbi Jesus, of their teacher, the one they were beginning to understand to be the Christ. So as they are watching him ascend to Jerusalem, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, just like at his coming, just like the angels told the shepherds, identifying the baby in the manger, identifying now the rabbi on the donkey, coming to Jerusalem. The second response is from the Pharisees. They hear this. Verse 39, teacher, rebuke your disciples. An interesting response in that, as soon as they call him teacher, they suggest or reflect a bit of respect, but at the same time, letting them know that they believe his students, disciples, his students are in error. And thereby, he is in error in letting them say these things. Stop them. Rebuke your disciples. Why are they quoting from the Hillel? Why are they quoting from this passage of Scripture that is to remind us of the Passover and the coming Christ, the Messiah? Who do you think you are? Who do they think you are? The last two responses come from Jesus. So the third response is his. Verse 40, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And you know, for the longest time, I thought that Jesus was not speaking literally. Rocks can't talk. But recently, we've been spending some time looking at creation and all that was involved in that and how redemption has affected creation and what creation is looking forward to, its renewal, and how all of it is under the control of its creator. I got to thinking about that and wondering, could Jesus be serious? If the disciples hadn't led the crowd in this cry of, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," would the rocks on the side of the road actually started to say that? Imagine that kind of a sound system. And then I thought some more. You know, rocks can't talk. But don't you know donkeys can't talk either? And neither can bushes. But the Creator can animate a bush so that it talks to a man and convinces him to lead 1.5 million people from slavery out of bondage to freedom. A creator God can take a donkey who's being ridden by a disobedient prophet and question what he's doing. So I would like to suggest to you, if the disciples had not begun "Glory to God in the highest," or "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," if they hadn't done that, I want you to know, I believe every one of those rocks along there could have and would have started saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Because creation knew who was ascending to the city of Jerusalem. And they would not have allowed it to go silent, or for Jesus to ascend silently. Then Jesus, in a very somber way, looks at those Pharisees in verse 42 and says, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace," and look at this last sentence. If you have your Bibles open, you can. "But now they have been hidden from your eyes." They had looked at all that Jesus had done. They'd heard all that Jesus had said and refused to believe. You've been under the foot, the boot of the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, for hundreds of years. Your deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ, has been in front of you for 3, offering God's kingdom, and you have refused it. And Jesus is saying something that thankfully he does not say today in this way. He looked at these men who knew better, should have known better, and says, your day of salvation is done. What a judgment. If you'd known in this day the things which make for peace, you've taught these people for years now that what they really need is a political savior, a military redeemer. You don't need deliverance from Rome, you need deliverance from Satan. You don't need freedom from Caesar, you need freedom from sin. You need to answer eternal questions, not the immediate questions of today. You should have known that. And now not only have you been deceived, you have deceived others. If we are to know genuine peace, it will only be in knowing Jesus. That's why even this morning as I prayed for peace, it's not enough for two governments to somehow come together and make some kind of a peace settlement. That would be wonderful if something were to happen that would stop the dying. But don't you know that if men and women don't find Jesus, when they do die, it will be an eternal death? So we don't look for a political peace. We long for the peace that only the Prince of Peace can bring. And that's what Jesus is telling these religious leaders. Genuine peace only comes through Jesus. So his church should be a consistent, constant witness to who Jesus is and what he offers. Does the church have something to say to social issues? Absolutely. But it is not sufficient to write social issues. We could get everyone to do exactly as we want them to do, but without Jesus, they still face an eternal judgment. So the church must be a constant, consistent witness. And when the church is, there is absolutely no need for talking rocks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to remind us of who your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus is, and all that we have because of all that he has done. As we continue in our worship and gather around the table, remind us of the extent of your great love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.